Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. 2025 looks like a year full of dangers for the European Union. Even before Donald Trump returns to office, his unpredictability is on full display as he tells NATO ally Denmark that he needs Greenland for US national security purposes, France retorting that the EU will not tolerate threats to its borders. And this is before Trump really gets going on tariffs, Ukraine, NATO, and the well-known issues. But there's also uncertainty in the domestic politics of EU member states, with crucial elections this year in Germany, Poland, Romania, the Czech Republic, and who knows, maybe in France as well, if the political deadlock here continues. Well, to discuss all this, I'm joined by Christine Verger, Vice President of the Jacques Delors Institute, and by Yves Bertoncini, a consultant in European public affairs and a former Vice President of the European Movement International. Welcome to both of you. Christine Verger, so when you look at Trump and these apparent threats to Greenland and so on, do you get the impression that the Europeans are proactively preparing scenarios, or they're just waiting to see sort of which way the wind will blow?
Well, I hope they are preparing scenarios, but for the moment they are rather silent. The Commission only started its work on the 1st of December. The European Parliament starts his work now as well, because during the second semesters there was no legislative agenda at all. So I hope that in silence they prepare their initiatives and their reactions, but one has to say that for the moment we are waiting for their positions. Mrs. von der Leyen is ill, and we hope that she will recover soon, but for the moment only vice presidents of the European Commission can act in her name, and they are all waiting, whether you agree or not, for Trump to take his place on the 21st of January.
Yeah, what was well prepared in the Commission, at least, was the reaction to Trump trade offensive, because, by the way, it already happened in the past during the first mandate of Donald Trump. So if ever there are trade sanctions from the US, there will be trade reactions, and we know what to do as Europeans against the US. But what is more surprising is that on the security field, not only, but that was the question, not only Trump could not be our protector any longer, that was being prepared, but with the Greenland in particular, it could become a threat for us. And that, yes, I think has created a kind of emotional shock at the EU level, and there will be some time to react properly, while saying, well, of course, you can't take control of the Greenland, which is part of which has linked with the Kingdom of Denmark, a member state of the EU. But if ever you want to talk about legitimate security concerns over the area, given Russian threats and maybe Chinese interference, let's talk about it. Let's cooperate, because we, the Europeans, may have the same interest.
Mm. And Christine Verger, what do you think of the sort of disarray in, particularly in France and Germany? I mean, not only is the legislative agenda only just beginning, as you mentioned, but also sort of in terms of the big political picture, we have this very uncertain situation in France and Germany particularly. Is that a big problem for Europe as well, that there's this void?
Yes, I think this political instability in two very important countries is really a problem for Europe. That's why everybody's waiting for the Polish presidency to be more active and at initiatives. Donald Tusk, as you said, is the new prime minister of Poland. He's the new strong leader of Europe. And his experience is considerable. He's been president of the European Council, he's been president of the EPP, which is the most important political family in Europe at the moment. So probably, as president of the Council of Ministers, he will try to impulse initiatives, in particular in the field of security and defense, but not only. And he will try also to accelerate some dossiers, which are very important with him, but also in the name of the whole European Union, such as immigration, energy, and competitiveness, which are the big challenges for Europe next year.
We'll come back to a couple of those, but Yves, what are you expecting from Donald Tusk during this Polish presidency?
Well, I think we're lucky to have him here now. as been said, you know, he's an experienced man. The program is clear: security on different fields. You know, of course, defense, but also energy security, food security, democratic security, given interferences from Elon Musk in particular. So we're expecting him to deliver, and it's a very good thing to have a leader, a legitimate leader at the national level, with a European experience at this precise moment. Plus the fact that he's from an Atlanticist country. So maybe it gives them a kind of clout vis-à-vis Donald Trump, more than if it had been, a country like France, where whose relations, with connections with the US are more problematic. So we are expecting him to deliver. And I would say that is a good example of a pro-European leader who was right as regards the Russian threat, by the way, more than the French and the Germans. And it's a good alternative to Giorgia Meloni, who could be the other European leader, legitimate in her country, but whose ties with the White House and with Donald Tusk and Elon Musk could appear more counterproductive for the European unity.
That's right, because I think she said, Giorgia Meloni has said that Elon Musk is not the enemy, or words to that effect, hasn't she?
Well,
realpolitik, pragmatism.
To be double-checked, I would say. And the last point was what will happen in Germany, of course, because and normally, and that's at least we can have a consolation as regards France, because France, we are in a political turmoil and the way out is not easy to identify. Whereas in Germany, normally, at the end of February, CDU-CSU may come back to power with maybe a grand coalition. So at least we'll have again a stable government in Berlin, and it's highly needed for the European construction.
We'll have to see about that, because, of course, the AfD, the far right in Germany, is polling comfortably in second place, Christine Verger.
Yeah, which is very worrying, of course.
And the FPÖ, in Austria has just been asked to lead a coalition.
But again, as I said before, I think in the European Parliament, if you look at the European level, those parties just gained 15 seats in the European Parliament. And there is still a very pro-European and democratic coalition in the European Parliament. The situation is very worrying in certain member countries, and the extreme rights are rising for sure. But I'm not sure that in the next months, at the European level at least, their influence will be so important.
And how do you see the cooperation shaping up then between these renewed European institutions?
I think they have no choice. They have to cooperate. As I said before, the Commission will propose some very fundamental agendas on defence, on competitiveness and other issues. Of course, the Parliament, concerning the legislative part, will be a very strong partner. And on those issues, I expect that the three institutions work together. As Jacques Delors was saying already 30 or 40 years ago, it's a question of survival or decline.
Yeah, the numbers are there. Christine is right. It's for the European Grand Coalition to work again, not only in the European Parliament, but also in the Commission and in the European Council. The challenge is that there are more nationalist forces in some capitals. And as you know, in a council where decisions have to be made based on a unanimity rule, well, they can block. And they can even block under the pressure of a third state. And then we had Russia with Orbán. We had China, but now we could even add Trump able to have a clout, of course, on a given member state, blocking our decision. So that will be one of the challenges of 2025 and beyond for the Europeans, if they want to be proactive, assertive, in a very adverse world.
And, Christine, you were mentioning competitiveness, one of the key planks of this first 100 days of Ursula von der Leyen's commission is to present a new clean industrial deal for competitive industries and quality jobs. What do you think she can actually deliver there, though?
Well, this is the job of the new French commissioner, Mr. Séjourné, who will present in February, I think, an industrial document on the industrial strategy. I think all the member states, most of the member states, agree on the diagnosis posed by Mr. Draghi in his report. Now the question is how to finance. Mr. Draghi is proposing 800 billion euros for investing in public and private financial projects. So the budget, the financial aspects will be crucial during this year. And it's not by coincidence that the Poles have chosen Mr. Serafin as the commissioner for budget. And it's up to the European Commission to make the proposals now, well, before the end of the Polish presidency, for the multi-annual financial framework for next year's. So one thing is to say this is necessary. The other thing is to say whether they will agree on the right financing to implement the Draghi report.
Yeah. What do you make of these 800 billion euros, Eve, that Mr. Draghi was talking about? Is it was he right to set out an actual figure that is clearly creating these political problems?
I think it's a good signal. It has been caught by us, by the observers. And he also said clearly there is part private funding in this and capital markets union. You know, private funding should be devoted more into European project than instead of fleeing to the US in particular. But then you have the public part. The public part, either you have, well, of course, a EU budget, not that big, but a bit bigger, borrowing together again, just like against the COVID-19, we borrowed together. So borrowing again for the ecological transition in particular, maybe defense, because if not, you have state aids. So the national member states able to finance. But the problem there is that you have member states such as Germany, by the way, which has margins of maneuver. And by the way, it's normal because they have been virtuous. And other countries, including France, whose margins of maneuvers are reduced. So if there's no European breakthrough there might be a competition between member states, and that may affect the single market, the fair competition, and that may affect European unity at large.
We'll have to wrap it up there, but thank you so much to both of you, Yves Bertoncini and Christine Verger. That's all for this episode of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.